This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis inviting you to stay tuned to hear God's message by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton. The title of the message is Signs of the Antichrist, and this is our Spring Fellowship Day. We're so happy to have folks that have been here all the week for our nightly services, and we're looking forward to the services today. We have baptism, we have dinner on the ground and preaching all around. But remember the title of the message, Signs of the Antichrist, and I'll give you the mailing address at the close of the service. You stay tuned.
Satan still retains the authority and dignity of his former creation and anointing, of course, with the exception that he is cast out of God's heaven, though he still has access to the throne in heaven, the first and second chapters of Job. His authority is superseded by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his sphere of operation is circumscribed by God's decree. In other words, Satan retains power to act, but the restrainer holds him in check or thwarts his purpose. As we have pointed out in past studies, the conflict of the ages in which man is engaged and which is conducted on the arena of this world and its affairs is waged to determine one object. Listen now. Whose will is best? My will or God's? When the history of mankind is completely written, it will ultimately tell one story. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man is dependent, helpless, needy, and dead apart from God. When the history of mankind is written, not only will the question of man's will or God's will be settled, but the one eternal question that has rung down through the corridors of heaven since the dawn of creation, since the creature said in his heart, in that early dawn of creation, even Lucifer himself, the highest created cherub, I will be like God. Only God is self-existent, self-sufficient, independent, and sovereign. And his will is best for every creature, both in heaven and on earth. That question will ultimately be settled once and for all. In the final stage of the test, God will remove the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, 7-8. I want you to see a truth here, my friends, which has been puzzling to me in the past and to many with whom I've talked. How is reprobation brought about? And what is reprobation? Or who is a reprobate? And how did he come to be one? There's only one condition necessary to introduce into a person's life, whether men or angels or Satan himself, that will bring about the state of reprobation. That, listen now, that is the removal of restraint, or we may say God's withdrawal of the Holy Spirit in his position of convicting, reproving, and restraining sin, exercising authority of Christ's lordship, and convicting of judgment. It is only then that the natural inclinations hidden within that heart can come boldly and unashamedly out in the open, revealing what that person loves, desires, and has pleasure in. Read Romans 1:24-28. Listen. Therefore, God also gave them up, removed restraint, or abandoned them. Has God abandoned you? In the lust, desires of their own hearts, to sexual impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, abandoning them to the degrading power of sin. Three times it is said, God gave them up. You said, my, that's awful. Yes, it is. But did you know why God gives a sinner up? That next verse tells us, verse 25, because they exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That word exchange means they had the truth of God, but they exchanged it for the lie of the creature, Satan. Verse 23 says that they exchanged, notice that word, the glory and majesty and excellency of the immortal God for and represent them by images resembling depraved men and birds and beasts and reptiles. Now, that's what they exchanged the truth for. He's talking about the religious world right here in New Orleans and America. They had the truth of God once they preached and taught and believed in the sovereign majesty of a holy God and the excellency and glory of the virgin-born Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Once the authority of Christ and the Holy Scriptures created all awesome reverence and godly fear in the churches and produced guilty fear and dread of judgment in the hearts of sinners. Once man was put in his place as a totally depraved, lost, hell-deserving sinner in the need of the Redeemer. But the majority of the world is religious. America is the so-called Christian nation. But where is the truth of God? It has been exchanged for Satan's lie. And what is Satan's lie? Get it now? It is the opposite of the truth, that man is divine and God is not sovereign, that man is good and God is too good to punish sin. Now that's the lie they exchange it for. We are seeing reprobation take place all around us today. Listen to Romans 1:26. For this reason, God gave them over and abandoned them to vile affections and degrading passions, for their women exchanged their natural function for an unnatural and abnormal one. And the men also turned from natural relations with women and were set ablaze with lust for one another, men committing shameful acts with men and suffering in their own bodies and personalities the inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing and going astray, which was their fitting retribution. The sin of this age is uncleanness, which is being uncovered and made public by the wholesale in the degree that the restrainer is withdrawing his restraining power. And when he is taken out of the way at the rupture of the church, then you'll see such violence, corruption, and depravity as the world has not seen since the day of Noah before the flood, when God swept them all away in judgment. You think you're seeing something now, but this is child's play besides what you will see when the restrainer is taken away. Read the rest of that first chapter of Romans, beginning with verse 28. Listen, I've been reading from the Amplified Version. And so, since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, the same reason as the other two times, or prove of Him, or consider Him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind to do things not proper or decent, but loathsome, until they were filled, permeated, and saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, iniquity, grasping, and covetous greed and malice. They were full of envy and jealousy, murder, strife, deceit and treachery, ill will, cruel ways. They were secret backbiters, gossipers, slanderers, hateful to and hating God, full of insolence, arrogance, boasting, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient and undutiful to parents. They were without understanding, conscienceless, faithless, heartless, and loveless, and merciless, though they are fully aware of God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve to die. They not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice them. Isn't that an awful picture of our present time and the times to come? I've set forth the reprobate heart as God reveals it in Romans 1. It is a depraved heart with all restraint removed, including religious authority of all forms. If you will notice in the final state of apostasy, God names all types of the most wicked crimes a man can commit. I want to call your attention, my friend. I praise the Lord that He put His restraint upon me and He placed me under His authority and taught me obedience to Christ, my Lord and my God. If you can boast that you are out from under the domination of your parents' authority, or you are delivered from the tyranny and domination of your husband, and you have no fear of your father, no reverence of your husband, you'd better start crying unto the Lord, not remove His authority over you. I've heard many brag about the fact that they don't have to obey the word of God preached by God's servant, but they're advertising to the world that you are defying authority and setting yourself up as your own authority. No man ever gets saved who it is on authority, as he terms it. No, he won't. No, he won't. No, he won't. You'll go right straight to hell. Now, when you understand God's method of dealing with men in grace, that is, exercise His restraining grace while He deals in mercy by the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, which is designed to bring you to repentance that you may believe, then and only then can you understand God's dealings with Satan in removing the restrainer or the Holy Spirit and giving him a little season to put his plan into effect. In other words, to bring out what is in his heart. This is God's way of manifesting to the whole world, to men and angels, the sin and the just judgment upon Satan, the arch enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the restrainer is removed, what is it in Satan's heart that is revealed? What is his program that he puts into effect? According to Isaiah 12:13-15, he says, in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the congregation, upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. His aim, purpose, ambition is to be like the Most High. That being so, then we can expect Him to imitate the Most High in everything He has done in the person of Christ. All that the world knows or can know of God has been revealed in Christ, the person of Jesus of Nazareth, from the cradle to the ascension. So when the Antichrist, the son of Satan, comes upon the scene, he will come imitating Christ, the Son of God. It is one of the most interesting studies to trace how the Antichrist imitates Christ in everything he can. Not only that, but the spirit of Antichrist, which is already in the world, 1 John 4:16, is at present imitating the spirit of Christ, who also is in the world. For instance, the third, I will, is more easily pointed out as being realized by Satan when the world is turned over to him during the tribulation period. Daniel 9 says, the abomination of desolation will be set up in the holy place. And 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says, the man of sin, or Antichrist, will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. Listen, so that he as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The temple of God is in the mount of the congregation. That is the mount of the nation Israel, or Jerusalem, and the sides of the north gives the location of the temple and the Holy of Holies, which is Mount Moriah. When I was first ordained to the gospel ministry, I want you to listen now, I could not understand that scripture and how it could come to pass. Yet I believe God's word, and I believe it more strongly than ever, and declare it to be the infallible, verbally inspired word of God, and man will be judged by it to the letter. After these more than 50 years, I have seen so many things take place by the satanic energy of the spirit of Antichrist to prepare the world for Satan's acceptance as God, until I marvel that such could happen in my lifetime. Yes, the world is all but ready to hail the political, economic world savior who poses as the Messiah that is to come. Now, do we know? Remember the words of Romans 1:23, which we read to you a few minutes ago. Listen, they change the truth of God. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. Literally, they exchange the glory of God for an image or likeness to corruptible man. The glory of God is His majesty, His supremacy and power, His authority and sovereignty, His beauty and glory of His person, the purity of His justice and the holiness of His love. They exchange God for Satan. For Satan said, I will be like the Most High. Satan has woven a veil of illusion about himself in order to appear like God. And all he has to offer poor, sinful, dying man is the likeness of an image that has no reality, no substance, and duped humanity, professing themselves to be wise. They become fools. Exchange the truth and the living God of all life for the empty likeness of the image of God, believing Satan's deception that poor, depraved, corrupt, sinful man is his own God and can do as he pleases. Now, if you don't know you don't think I know what I'm talking about, you order three booklets. One, Religiously Lost. Second, My Religious Life Before God Saved Me. Third, How God Saved a Baptist Preacher. That'll give you some insight into how Satan fooled me. In presenting himself as like God, Satan meets man wherever he is, on whatever ground he stands, as to the Word of God, and there begins to offer you anything you want under the likeness of God, if you will fall for it and are willing to settle your soul's destiny on it. If you want faith, Satan can give you empty faith. If you insist on repentance, Satan produces empty repentance. If he can get you to reason with him, he'll offer you high criticism and the so-called wisdom of this world. The Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 1:2, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Today, we Gentiles don't want to fall short of the current standard of worldly wisdom. Therefore, we demand a Bible that passes the test of so-called high learning and textual criticism of the atheistic philosopher and the modernistic religionist. Now you let that soak in. The Jews, on the other hand, require a sign. They will not believe until they see a miracle signifying the finger of God. I need not give you illustrations of Satan's storehouse of worldly wisdom he offers to the Gentile world today, because practically everybody knows the skepticism that exists among scientists and religious scholars and even the open, blatant atheism, what they teach and preach. But the times of the Gentiles is rapidly drawing to a close, with Satan holding the Gentile world system in the snare of the great delusion, because God has said, where it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I'll bring to naught the understanding of the prudent. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, come, is our cry. And I believe I must almost hear the shout, how much longer will he tarry? Come, Lord Jesus, come. When the Lord Jesus comes and snatches out the Gentile bride and turns the Gentile harlot over to Satan, the history of the Gentiles as such will be over. And then turn to the Jews and starts the time clock of the Jewish history to finish Daniel's 70th week, Daniel 9:27. This is the time of great tribulation, when Israel is to be tried, Zechariah 13:9, and delivered as a nation, that is the remnant that is left in the day of Christ's coming, in power and glory to take over the kingdoms of this world and make them the kingdoms of God or his own kingdom. Brethren, we're so near the coming of the Lord, I just want to shout. I just want to praise. Ah, this Gentile world harlot has debased, has criticized, has turned down the Word of God, rebelled against it, exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And my cry is, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. This 70th week begins with Antichrist making a 7-year peace treaty with Israel, pleading to protect her in the growing conflict with her neighbors, Egypt, Jordania, and their allies. How will the Jews consent to accept this peace treaty with a Gentile political leader? She will be deceived by his miracles, signs, and lying wonders. Next Sunday, I'll bring you a message on lying wonders. He will come presenting himself after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:19. Let me call your attention to a fact here. The Old Testament, which are the Jewish scriptures, are the oracles of God, Romans 3:2, and are based on miracles. Other religions present miracles. Miracles just hang on them. But they are founded upon miracles. Yes, Christ, the Word of God, is founded upon miracles. Christians who accept God's Word as it is, believe in the miraculous power of God, because it takes a miracle to make a depraved sinner into a new creature. It is this underlying principle of Christianity that leads Satan to present signs and false wonders in the form of miracles today to deceive, because their minds are open to by the miraculous. But Christ said, listen, he would not give the Jews a sign, but Jonah and the whale. That is, God's word testified that Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. And he was raised to life by the hand of God, which was a miracle. So Christ crucified, buried in the heart of the earth, 3 days and 3 nights, was raised from the dead by the resurrection power of God. And that was a miracle. That is a sign Christians believe, and the only sign true believers recognize the resurrection power of the Son of God that breaks the power of sin, makes new creation, and gives the sinner the nature of God to love and do the things of God. Anything else is a false wonder, a sign of Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. My friends, there's no end to this study. The Bible has, in these last days, on the Antichrist.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the gospel goes out on a regular basis. This is our Spring Fellowship Day. It's been an annual of ours, a biannual. For many, many years, folks come from all over America to be here with us. We have services a week ahead of time, and then culminating with the Fellowship Day on Sunday, the Lord's Day. We have preaching and baptism and all of those things, dinner on the ground. Our folks come from all over the country. But it's been great, great up until now, and we're looking forward to later on here today for our fellowship. But you remember that the message you just heard was signs of the Antichrist. We'll be glad to send it to you in printed form simply by your writing. Also, I'll remind you that we recently completed a series of studies on the Trailblazer broadcast, Satan, the God of this World. And I made our folks an offer here. There's about 18 CDs, and I made them an offer. I let them have their CDs for $1 a piece. There's 5 messages on each one of them. You write me, call me, I'll be glad to talk to you about it, and send them to you for $1 a piece. But remember, today, our Spring Fellowship Day, come rejoicing, come praying. Would you do that? And we have many folks on the sick bed. Let's pray for those folks. Maybe some of them are raised up out of the bed, off of the hospital bed, enough to be here for our Fellowship Day. And I know they'd be happy to do that. But remember the message you heard, the signs of the Antichrist. And as I said, we'd be glad to send that to you in printed page, simply by writing, no charge, postpaid. Would you help us with the broadcast just a little bit? A lady called me the other day, and she said, Pastor, you mean you have to pay for these broadcasts? I said, yes, ma'am. Remember my mailing address, Radio Missions, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Goodbye, and God bless you.